Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Two Hosers Photo Show.
Two Hosers Photo Show who?
That's what Adam Carolla said.
Wah, wah, wah. Hello and welcome to episode 84 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada. With me, as always, is
Adam
in
your dad's backyard.
We're in the backyard. We are poolside. my daughter's splashy pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're poolside. We're doing this one outside. You know why?
No.
Beautiful.
Beautiful day.
Also, episode 84, gotta do it outdoor. Z.
Is that because it rhymes?
I don't know. That's what I'm going with.
Great.
Oh, darn. We were rolling on that. That's awesome. So, last week, did we go too fast?
I don't know. Is that the feedback?
No. No, I just feel like we went too fast.
What was the episode about?
Speed. No, what was it about last week? Playing the hand you're dealt.
Oh, no, I think we went just the right speed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just checking. I want to make sure that we weren't going too fast.
I don't remember it, so.
That quick. Yeah. I think maybe because the pace in North America is different. I feel that way when I'm here, that everything moves a lot quicker
maybe.
Than in Germany.
What happens in Germany?
A lot slower.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for real, but except for the traffic, and that's very, very fast.
Maybe that's because you're having such a good time, so time flies when you're having a good time.
That's true. Buddy ours got a brother. This is a story, nothing to do with photo.
He got a brother?
Has a brother.
Okay.
He's got a brother, I say.
Right, okay.
And I don't think you know him. I don't think you know Rob.
No.
Doesn't matter. He did a video he showed me. It's nothing to do with photography.
Okay.
But he made a video. He works with these young actors. He just puts on workshops or something like that. Young Actors Project, I think it's called.
Okay.
And one of their videos, short videos, was to do with a rock star from the 80s. So they wanted to use a real rock star's music. So he emailed Corey Hart.
Nice.
He emailed back and said, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Really?
So, yeah. So he used a bunch of Corey Hart. He made the video was a young guy playing a young version of Corey Hart in the 80s. And so, yeah, Corey Hart's a big fan.
That's great.
So I told him I'd chat it up this week on the show. Got a big plug.
Yeah.
Podcasts, the app, do you know it?
No.
What?
Don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Apple makes an app for the everything.
Yeah.
Called Podcasts.
That's the name of the app.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what it is basically you load it up and you can search and download or just play, just stream any podcast you want.
That's under the iTunes.
Under the iTunes. Okay. I think it's just it's a good question. I don't know.
Well, if it's Apple's, it probably is.
Right? I assume they're all, every show is under iTunes though.
Yeah.
And so including the Two Hosers.
Great
photo show.
Did you try it?
Yeah.
And did it work?
Yeah, we're signed up. I'm going to show you right now while you bebop and scat and
yeah,
I load it up.
Thrilling podcast material.
Well, this is how I'm saying it. People can access our show. I'm not. Yeah, there it is. So you can see there we are.
Wow.
Yeah. So there, that's it. You can get all. I think I may have loaded 55 episodes by accident.
So you don't even need to bother downloading anymore? That's what you're saying? How does this affect the numbers of knowing who's listening to the podcast?
I don't know. I don't care.
Because our sponsors want to know.
Yeah, they need the numbers. Want to know.
Yeah.
I've never, as you know, I've never really cared about numbers. You don't even know what numbers are. So it's never been about the numbers.
Right.
Although we like high ones. No, but it's never been, like I stopped checking. Once we went from a limited bandwidth to unlimited, which we had to sign up for a long time ago, I have no clue of our numbers.
Okay. So, more than 11?
More than 11. It's definitely right. More than 11. And so, yeah, so I checked this out, and you can listen, you can sign up, you can stream them directly there. You don't have to download. You can download. Like if you want to preload a bunch to go on an airplane ride or something like that, which is what I do.
Right.
That's my move.
And you can do that right through the app.
Right through the app.
Wow.
Blammo. And you can access all 83 and pretty soon 84 episodes of the Two Hosers Photo Show on that.
Great.
So I'm assuming there's other versions of this for your whatever. What phone do you have? Something.
A Samsung phone.
Yeah, so that's, what is that? That's the Android, right?
Yeah. Okay. Galaxy, something like that.
I'm sure there's some sort of an app for that that'll do the same
thing. I'll just use my iPod.
There you go.
And does that mean I can get the Adam Carolla podcast that way too?
Yes, you can.
Because I've been meaning to do that for the last 6 months, and I still haven't.
Well,
so.
I would start now.
All right.
So there's that. So everyone check out the podcast app. Or if you know of a really good one on the other Androids or whatever else people are using, feel free to tell us. I'm interested to know. And we'll pass on how you listen to the show. And the next note says lens repair.
That was you.
Yeah. Got my estimate back for my 70 to 200.
Okay.
A couple hundred bucks.
A couple hundred as in two?
250. I think it was two... I lost track now of whether that includes my deposit or not. But yeah, it's going to be around $250.
And is that was okay with you?
No. No, it was not. would have been a lot better if it was zero and had not broken.
Right.
But yeah, it's 3 years old. And this is what I wanted to say. It's a reminder of why you should charge all of your clients something. Because how often do you go out and, you know, you... Some friend says, hey, can you, you know, snap some pictures and whatever. Over time, your lens will wear out. Like, I don't think this should have happened after 3 years. Dear Canon, disgruntled over here. But, you know, that's life. C'est la vie. So ist das Leben. That's how we say.
So you should get people to pay because you never know. Is that where you're going?
It's
going to
happen. Like, yeah. You're going to wear it out. Like, you have so many clicks on your camera and so many clicks on each lens, and it's going to wear out. So... You know, every time you take someone's picture, which in Germany, I don't think any of our friends in Germany have ever not paid me.
Really?
Like, they'll, like, even if it's like $10 or something like that, it's just that's how it's done there.
Really?
And I tried to fight it off for a while. Like, no, don't worry about it. But it happens. And so it's not such a big deal that this happened because it's kind of been going that way. People have been paying.
Right.
Now I got to spend that money, and that's where it goes. But. So that's that. It should have broken after 3 years, but here we are.
Great.
iPod, however. iPod broke.
Yeah.
Walked into Apple. You know what they did?
Gave you another one?
Gave me a new one.
I've had this experience.
The end. That's it.
That's it. They're good.
Yeah. I guess you could say they shouldn't break, but if they do,
yeah.
There you go. That's enough messing about.
Okay.
So let's look up at the airplane that I'm sure we can hear.
Yeah, we're in Richmond, which is close to the Vancouver International Airport. So that is what you're hearing.
Yeah, I wasn't going to give away our location, but like Vancouver sounds better.
Yeah, well, it's the Vancouver Airport.
We are at the Vancouver Airport. What'd you shoot this week?
Believe it or not, we went to Portland. So we bypassed Seattle, went straight to Oregon, and stayed in Portland for a few days. So a little different... scenery than what we're used to. So we took some pictures there, and that's, again, it wasn't a lot of excitement. I didn't take a ton of pictures because sightseeing in a new town, didn't want to have the camera with me at all times. So some pictures by the pool in the hotel, really exciting stuff. Yeah,
and looks like Seattle
a little bit of, yeah, a little bit downtown in Oregon walking around, but again, it could be downtown anywhere. I could have just told you it was Oregon. So yeah, no, nothing that was going to blow your hair back. So how about you?
I've been, a lot of family stuff. You know, kid running, the weather's gotten nice again. We had a little spell there where it was kind of, you know, meh. But been to the beach a lot.
Yeah, beach is good.
Been to the beach, I have 4 or 5 different beaches here that I've been to already. Because we like the beach.
Yeah.
Not that crybaby you hear in the background.
Right.
She actually loves the beach as well. But where do we go? Kitts Beach. You've been to Kitts Beach?
Yep.
That's awesome. Went swimming there.
Yeah.
English Bay.
Another nice beach.
Another nice beach. Saw the fireworks there one night.
Did you take some long exposure photographs?
No.
No.
There's about 8,000 people already doing that.
So you decided just to watch?
So I just went to Flickr.com and checked them out. So we did that. Wreck Beach. Went to Wreck Beach.
It's the nudie beach.
Well, clothing optional.
Your daughter didn't wear pants.
No.
No,
she's one.
That's her move, too.
That's her move. Yeah. I did wear pants, if we're keeping track.
That's good.
That's how I do it. It's clothing optional, and I went for the option.
Right.
It's the best beach, though. It's kind of too bad, because there's no cameras. I wouldn't say allowed, but I think you'd probably...
It's the poor form.
Yeah, you'd catch a little bit of heat if you brought a camera down there, which is too bad because it is the most picturesque beach we have. It is gorgeous down there.
Right through the rainforest. I like the beach. I haven't been there in a number of years, though.
Yeah. So did that. And then with you and the family last night, and other families went to Spanish Banks.
Yeah, another nice spot.
Where my camera took a beating.
Really?
It was, I came home, I had to blow it all the dust off.
Yeah, that's the downside.
It was dusty yesterday.
And the wind gets going, too, and blows the sand around, yeah.
Yeah, so I was originally going to bring my film camera for that reason, but then I thought, you know, I want a bunch of color pictures and that, so got a lot of nice snaps.
Yeah.
Nice colors later in the evening, around 7, with the low sun and that, and the city in the background. It's really fantastic, so.
I didn't bring my camera.
You didn't? I thought for sure you would.
Yeah, we were out all day and hit Playland beforehand, and I've done Playland with the camera before, and so it gets a little redundant, and
right. That
neck of the woods isn't the safest place to leave your photo gear in your car, so it was
right. Carry
it around Playland and then go to the beach, and yeah, I'm just going to whine and say that I didn't feel like carrying it around. So
no, that's completely reasonable.
Yeah, and I figured you probably wouldn't bring yours either, and you know that would be fine because we don't need a camera at every event. But you came through.
I did.
Came through.
Well, so a lot of people back home have been back home. This is home. That's home. I don't know what home is. A lot of people back in Germany have been kind of pestering my wife to send more pictures of our vacation while we're on it.
Right.
Because they like to see, you know, what's your daughter... Really, what's your daughter doing? They don't really care about me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I brought it.
And the answer is pooping at the beach.
My daughter did as well. So, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been shooting.
Should we mention that I took a picture of your family and you kind of babysat me and I caught you setting the exposure before you handed it over?
I pre-checked it.
Do you do that with everybody or just with me?
I actually do it more so. To be fair, I gave you the camera in full manual mode. I never, ever, ever do that. So you should feel honored that way.
Yeah. Checked the exposure and said, don't touch anything.
I didn't say. What I wanted to do is I wanted to give you a camera that was basically... preset in the ballpark.
Right.
So that I was like, okay. Ultimately, I wanted to decide. I can't remember which it was. It was either f5.6 or f8, and I wanted to pick one f-stop.
I think it was f5.6.
Yeah, and so that way you could then adjust the shutter speed accordingly.
Yeah, I was insulted, so I didn't. I just blindly fired 4 shots and said, here you go.
Here you go.
Yeah, that's
trying to fix those in post. Yeah. Well, I'd handed my camera to somebody else earlier in the day to get a picture of the family, and they cut us off at the knees.
Yeah.
Right through the knees, and honest to God, you could see the Mars lander thing in the headroom. Like, it was so much blue sky headroom, and then just cut off at the knees that I was a little bit rattled.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
There's that. So, yeah, you got me. What are you going to do? Huh? You're welcome to leave.
Yeah.
Okay, this week's photo challenge, you issued it.
Yeah, it was Moonlight.
Moonlight.
And the reason I issued it is because I had taken a few pictures when we were visiting a friend's cabin a couple weeks back that we talked about, and I used that was from the episode, I used that tubing picture, and so it was fresh in my mind, you know, what the moon looked like on the water, and I thought, oh, this will be great, except for then I went to Portland for 4 days and never made it up for the moon. And then when I finally decided, okay, we're gonna go out and I'm gonna take this moonlight picture, which was 2 nights ago, there was no moon.
Right.
So that kind of made it a difficult moonlight shot. But I did take a long exposure picture, and it became a starlight picture. I figured the same principles apply.
Sure.
Starlight, moonlight. So I know I'm gonna get a DQ on this one, but there was no moon.
Yeah. I figured you were trying to stack the deck. And when you suggested this, I was like, oh man, he's going. I thought you were going to the Oregon coast, and they what a great place, like, because you know the moon's going to be hitting that ocean. It's going to look fantastic up on some cliff or something with a dune or whatever. And I thought, oh, I'm not gonna rain on his parade. I know full well, like, I got a 1-year-old. There's no way I'm getting down to the water, you know, at midnight.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I'll make the best of a bad. I'll play the hand I'm dealt.
Right.
Like last week, and then to have you kind of really phone it in. it's disappointing. I mean, I definitely don't
know. But I didn't go to the Oregon coast. That was part of it. We just
regardless,
went to Portland. So.
Yeah, this was your suggestion. So let's look at yours first.
Okay.
It's a good picture.
I'm happy with the picture, even though it's probably not a moon. Well, probably it isn't a moonlight picture.
Well, it's lit by the moon. I mean, technically, or just at night.
Yeah, it's night. It's a night picture with stars.
Yeah, it's a night picture with stars.
Yeah. It's a long exposure picture, which I don't do enough of.
Right.
And it was pitch black when I went down. I was honestly the only one down there until some guy walking his dogs came by, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get attacked.
by the dogs?
Well, I'm not sure, because I was kind of crouched in complete darkness shooting the picture. So the only light is the light way, way off in the distance, and some of it's from, you know, the revolving light of the little lighthouse there on the landing, mm-hmm. and so that light is kind of spinning around in a circle. So there's a flicker of red light that shows up every, I don't know, 2 seconds. So that's a 25-second exposure, and so when I was amazed when I looked at. I looked at the LCD after I took the picture, how much light was in there after 25 seconds, because it was pitch black. And I'll give you sort of one of the things that happened to show you how dark it was. I dropped my lens cap on the ground, mm-hmm. and I had to come back the next morning to get it. It was so dark. I fumbled around on the ground for a few minutes trying to look for it, and then I just said, nope, the guy with the dogs is going to eat me, so I'm going to get out of here. And so I got up first thing the next morning and came back for my lens cap. So
you didn't think to whip your iPhone out?
I didn't have any of that with me. I had my camera, and I tried using the LCD, and wasn't enough light to find it on the pitch black. So I thought I had a flashlight in the car. I did not. Came back at 8 a.m., and sure enough, my lens cap was right where I left it.
Nice. That never happens.
Yeah. So
like, I'd come back, and it'd be there, but someone would have smashed it. Just as a, don't leave this line around.
Yeah. So
that'd be a lesson.
So there it is. I was really trying to get the stars. I took a few pictures with varying amounts of sky. I did like it when I had a bit of the logs, so I got a little bit of the logs in the foreground, and I preferred that to just the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a nice smooth water surface with the 25-second exposure and enough light that you get kind of all those different color tones in there. And
for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I used the sliders a little bit because I was really wanting the purple and blue of the sky to kind of stand out, and there you go.
Nice. Well, it's a good photo. The horizon's dead center in the middle of the picture, which is a big no-no.
Yeah.
Except for I don't care.
Yeah.
That's one of those no-nos that...
And I cropped it to make it that way, so that was my choice.
I hear that all the time, that oh, no, you can never, ever have the horizon in the center. But I also hear lots of things, like in movies and stuff, people always say, you never cut to a moving camera, and I do all the time. I don't care. If you're good at it, it's okay. So I'm not saying every time. I mean, sometimes you want to get the horizon out of the middle, but sometimes it looks good, like in this case here in your moonlight picture.
Yes.
So, no, good job. That's a good looking. And there's no light on those logs. That's just available.
No, that's available light. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you should have done a 25-second exposure of the ground and then found your lens cap. You could have looked in there.
That's a good idea.
Next
time I will try that.
Well, don't lose your lens cap next time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to mine. Okay, that's mine right there.
Looks like a baseball diamond and a movie screen.
Yeah.
All right.
Movie night at Nat Bailey Stadium. And there's some sort of thing going on in Vancouver. All over Vancouver, they're showing movies outdoors. Like, just for free. You can go for free and watch movies. Greece was last week at Stanley Park. They got Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that kind of thing.
Are you doing a sort of Vancouver to-do list here?
Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
Tourism Vancouver sponsored.
At Nat Bailey Stadium,
right.
The baseball park, they show a few movies as well, which the screen was pretty small, relatively speaking, and we're sitting way far from it. Like, we're sitting in the stands, but they showed Field of Dreams.
Yes, it looks like... It looks like, well, from that shot, I can tell that's Field of Dreams.
Yeah?
No, I can't.
Okay, well,
could be 8 Men Out, I don't know. Yeah. Could be the Babe Ruth story.
Well, 8 Men Out, about the same subject matter. Yeah. So, no, that's Field of Dreams, and so that's what I chose for my moonlight picture.
Is there a moon this night?
There is 100% moonlight in that picture.
Great. Is that on the outfield there? Is that where the moonlight's coming through?
This one's a tricky one. And I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you where Moonlight is.
Okay.
And this one...
It's like a riddle.
This one absolutely, positively is a riddle. And so if any of our listeners know the movie... Oh, that's kind of a hint.
Oh, Moonlight Graham. That's who's in...
Oh, you ruined it.
That's who's in the photo?
That's a picture of Moonlight Graham.
Oh, man, Moonlight Graham.
Oh, sorry, maybe you'd prefer his name to be Starlight Graham. Maybe that would be better. And then it would fit right in with our Starlight photos.
Right. I'm looking at the photo on an iPod, so there's no way I had enough resolution there to know that that was Moonlight Graham. I thought that was Ray Liotta.
Nope. Nope, that's Frank Whaley. Wally? I don't know.
Yeah.
What am I, his biographer? He's the guy from Pulp Fiction. That's all I know. And, that's Moonlight Graham. So there's my Moonlight picture.
All right. Very, very cheeky.
Oh. Moving on.
Yeah.
This week's topic. Adam shot film.
Yes, I did.
And?
It took a long time to take 18 pictures. All the things going on, and oh, you got to pull the trigger back on every single exposure. Yeah.
No, we'll get to that. We'll get to the whole process.
Yeah.
First of all, why 18 pictures? Is there 18 on a roll?
No, but you wanted me to shoot half so that you could shoot the second half.
It was more so because I knew you'd take forever.
Yeah. Oh, it would have been 3 weeks.
To shoot 36 exposures would have been insane. So,
And your wife wanted to go home. You were at my house, and so she was giving you the double tap.
Yeah.
And so 18.
So one of the reasons I wanted to shoot film with you, or have you shoot film or show you how to do it or whatever, ended up, because you've never shot film before, real film.
No, I haven't.
Probably an Instamatic
or
something.
Yes, that's it. One of those over-the-counter Kodak ones you take on vacation 15 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you can buy film cameras that are very similar to our digital SLRs in that they have all those settings. They'll do automatic exposure and all that stuff. But not the camera that you used. That was a Canon FT made in probably 1971.
Okay.
Still works. Fantastic camera. But it's got no automatic features at all. You have to handle everything. So part of that, I found it intimidating at first, a long, long, long time ago. But once you kind of get used to it, it gets out of your way and you can just take photos.
Right.
And so that's the goal with your digital SLR, which, believe it or not, I find to be more complicated than the simple film camera because there's so many bells and whistles that they don't get out of your way.
Right.
So that's why we did it. So where do we start? What was like loading the film like?
That camera wasn't super complicated. Again, I think you babysat me a little bit, but that's fine because I had no idea which way the roll went. And it was kind of like, I guess the first time your wife forgot to change the toilet paper and you were forced to do it and you weren't sure which way it goes, up or down. So it's kind of like that. Yeah.
And, I have a bidet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, the loading was relatively easy. And after that, should I say?
Well, that was a quick load.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that camera is called a QL.
Yeah.
Which means it stands for quick load. I mean, it's very, very easy to do.
Okay.
Okay. And so, but one of the things that, people can do to get it wrong is they put it in, close the camera, think it's loaded, and start cranking off pictures. Well, you can imagine the counter still goes every time you cock that camera. Cock the shutter, and if the film isn't picking up, you're going to rattle off 36 pictures of nothing.
Yeah, and then that looks kind of silly when you hand that into the photo mat, right?
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. People do it. So that was one thing. That's kind of why I babysat you, to make sure that it goes through. After that, we started shooting.
Right.
Okay. How did you meter?
We used a little sort of handheld light meter.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of held it in front of whatever our subject was and got a reading of how much light was in that area.
So I brought up my external incident meter. We call it incident, meaning the light that actually exists, the light that is falling on our subject.
Right.
Normally we use what kind of a meter in our DSLRs?
I don't know what it's called.
Like a reflective.
A reflective, okay.
I don't know if it's actually called that, but it seems like it's called that.
Okay.
Like a spot, it's essentially like a spot meter, but it could be wider than a spot. But the idea is it's a reflective. So we're normally measuring the light that's bouncing off our subject.
Right, because the lens, it reads it inside the lens, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, the camera that I gave you has that feature as well. It's got a built-in reflective meter.
Right.
The battery, probably dead. I don't know. I didn't check it. I don't really care. I don't normally use it anyways. It's a nice fallback. But I wanted you to kind of get the full experience.
Right.
So I whipped out the...
incidence meter.
I can't think of who makes mine.
I don't know.
I can't remember now. It's not Minolta, but that's all I can get out of... it's not them.
It's not important.
Yeah, it is to me. I'm going to go Google it after this.
You know what I found is that you can get an iPod app that's a light meter that works actually pretty well.
It does.
Apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, it works. It works. I believe those are spot meters. It uses your camera, the camera in your iPhone, iPod, or whatever, and basically spits out a reading. You know, but this one is different because now we're not worried about, you know, is our subject wearing a white shirt or a black shirt? It's just there's this much light.
Right.
Okay. So after that, we started shooting.
Yeah, so I would put that light meter in front of you, and then it would give me a reading. So if I set the aperture, was it the aperture we were adjusting on that? And then it would but wouldn't we put in one number? We put one variable, and it would give you the shutter speed for a set aperture. That's pretty much what I was doing, right?
Yeah, you dial in your aperture.
Yeah.
And on the light meter.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. You dial in your shutter speed.
Was it the shutter speed?
Yes, you dial in your shutter speed, and it gives you the correct aperture.
Right.
Which you can then move up and down.
Yeah.
So once we dial that in, well, first of all, now it's giving us readings. What kind of readings were we getting? When you're putting in, you know, 1/125th of a second, you set your ISO to 400. We're shooting 400 film.
Right, which is essentially the same as ISO 400 on digital camera.
Pretty much.
Okay.
We would dial in 1/125.
Right.
And then it would spit out. What kind of numbers was it giving you?
It would give some sort of like a range. Well, I don't know. I call it a range. It would give you are calling it a split, right? So 5.68 split. So is that the terminology you would use?
But it never told you it was an aperture 3.5, did it?
No, it did not. So all in full stops.
It was using full proper stops, which is kind of when you talk to, you know, film buffs or guys who started out in film and moved into digital, that was very, very strange for me, for one, to see these odd apertures.
Right.
And oftentimes, to hear you talk about it on the show, that, I shot this at, you know, f7.1, that means nothing to me. However, that to me is a 5.68 split.
Okay.
Okay. And so dealing in full f-stops, that's what this would do. It would spit out, you know, either f2, 2.8, 4, 5, 6, 8, 11, 16, pretty much.
Right.
But in between, it would kind of give you sort of a, you know, how far you were in between.
Right.
So oftentimes it'd be 4 1/3.
Yeah.
Or 2/3 or 1/2. And so you'd kind of dial it in accordingly.
Right.
So, was it strange to work in full f-stops?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, very foreign to me.
So, how did you set the aperture?
On the camera?
Yeah.
Just on the on the ring of the lens.
It's right on the barrel.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a big thing to get over when I started shooting digital, was that the aperture wasn't there.
Right.
Now it makes sense that it's, you know, built in. Like, now it feels normal. But for a long time, it was hard for me to not have an aperture ring.
Right.
Now, I think the Nikons still do, so I think you might be able to still use them in certain modes, but I don't know.
So. Yeah, it was very weird for me. So was the fact that, and I think I alluded to this earlier, that you had to click the, I don't know what you call it. Is it to move the film across? What's that thing called? That you have to...
Like to cock the shutter?
Yeah, so the shutter... Oftentimes, I'd try to go take a picture, and nothing would happen, and then I realized, and it only took me, all 18 pictures before I almost figured out that you had to kind of, it was better to pre-load that before you got ready for the next picture.
Yes. That's the thing, is in order to take these pictures, now, there's no battery in this camera.
Right.
So everything is like, so if you're on vacation, and, you know, you don't have a charger or anything like that, or batteries, you can still take all your pictures. You still need it to meter. But you're okay. Everything is mechanical. Okay, so what you do is you cock the shutter at the same time it advances the film one frame.
Right.
And a very common mistake is to forget that and to go, like you said, snap the next picture and nothing happens.
Yeah.
And great, the moment's gone.
How many dads do you think missed their kids' first steps because of that?
I don't. That's a good point.
I got my kids' eighth step, so that's good enough. Right?
I know my dad shot one of my birthdays with no film in the camera.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my 20th, so I didn't really care. But no, it would happen, you know. So one of the things that I always do whenever I shoot is as soon as I shoot a picture, the first thing I do is crank off, you know, re-cock the shutter.
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, let me try that again. So no matter what happens,
right,
I'm ready for that next picture.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, I think, after about the third picture, but it's still, there's too many things going on. I had to stand over here and take the reading of the light and figure out where the aperture was again. And yeah, all of it very foreign to me.
Right.
So it's funny that you say, you know, you find this stuff gets out of your way, and maybe if I did enough of it, I would feel that way. But I find that the new digital cameras, and again, and I'm just working with what I've got in Canons, but I find that, again, them amazingly simple.
Yes.
But maybe that's because that's all my experience is with that, and it just seems to make sense.
Right. Also, I mean, I think early on, when you were shooting, you didn't get into all the deeper
That's
modes.
True. Yeah, it's true. You and learn one piece at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. So at this point, I think it is. And that's what we kind of, you know, strove. Is that a word? Past no. tense?
How about striven?
Striven. That's what we have striven for.
Right.
Pass the cucumber sandwiches and the tea, please. That's what we strived for, is to get that out of our way. Get so good at using your camera. And getting into that manual mode or whatever it is, or AV, whatever you use, so that you don't have to think about any of that. And the digital cameras are good for that if you get to that point.
Yes.
So setting shutter speed.
Right.
That was a little bit different now too, because that was built, that's on the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of options.
No, they go up also in full stops, right? Is there a sort of halfway in between each full stop?
Nope.
No, it's just in full stops. And I can't remember, it goes like, you know, 25, does it go 25, 30? One of them 30?
No, 60? 15. 15, 30, 60.
60, 125.
250, 500, and 1,000,
right.
The end.
Right.
It goes down lower to 1 second and bulb, where you can basically, your camera has bulb
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll go to from 1 second all the way up to 1/1000th. And that's it.
Right.
So, you know, if we're shooting ISO 400 film in the sun, we only have essentially two shutter speeds to deal with. For the most part, if we're not right. shooting in the shadows.
Yeah.
If we're shooting out in the sun, you have 1/500th and 1,000th, and that's that.
Yeah.
So, unless you have an ND filter and that kind of thing. So, that's where you're kind of limited. Now, my DSLRs go to 1/8000th of a second.
Yeah.
Very fast. Yours goes to 1/4000th.
1/4000th, yeah.
You know, that's very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So, that was... Also, any fine-tuning you have to do on exposure means you're going to have to do it with the aperture. So in essence, it's kind of, you're sort of shooting on shutter priority mode.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different.
Especially if you've got ISO 400 film and you're shooting in the sun.
Right. Today I went down to Steveston for the Maritime Festival.
Right.
And I shot, all I had was 400 black and white film. And I wanted to shoot film today. So I basically shot it at 50 ISO. I told it's 50, basically overexposed it by 8 times as much light. When I go to process it, I'm going to process it for, you know, 1/8 less.
Okay.
Not exactly, but in essence, it's going to be about half, but it's going to translate into under-processing it to make up for the fact that I over-processed it. Because I wanted a little bit more headroom, we'll call it, on the shutter speed and aperture and that, so...
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boring. Yeah. Yeah.
Write it up in an algebraic equation that I can look at later.
Okay. How was the autofocus on this camera?
I think it's my eyes, but I love autofocus, and there is none on the camera that I was using.
No.
And I realized quickly, I'm interested to see my results because I'm pretty confident none of it will be in focus. Because my eye, again, this isn't something I've spent much time doing.
Yeah.
And I don't have the live view to zoom in on and make sure that I've got razor sharp focus. So, yeah, I'm very interested. I think if best, 1 in 3 will be in focus.
No, I bet you it's more than that.
Okay.
Well, I'll bet you. Now, one of the good things, what I like very much about the manual focus is that you can pre-focus. Like, you can still do it with your digital SLR as well. But basically, if you kind of know what's going on, you can... Remember I showed you how you can set the lens to a distance?
That's what I was doing, because I had no confidence in what I was seeing through there of being in focus. So I was saying, oh, that's roughly 3 feet. Oh, this is roughly 6 feet. And I was just going based on that.
Yeah. But that comes in very, very handy. Now, I find that because these lenses have like a hard stop at infinity and at the minimum focus distance, which... probably 1.5 feet with the lens you were using.
Yeah.
A 50mm 1.4 lens. Great lens. Because it has hard stops, it's very easy to set that distance. With the other one, you can still do it. It doesn't... It's not as easy to do. It can still be done.
Okay.
But this is the thing, is when I started shooting digital for the first time, I was a tremendous snob. I will not use autofocus. I'm better than autofocus. I'm better than the camera. Well, how does the camera know what I'm trying to focus on? Because I come from that world. I learned very quickly to love autofocus. Autofocus is awesome.
Yeah, and it seems like it's only getting better.
It's only getting better and faster. And, you know, when I shoot film, I still want manual focus. That's part of the experience. However, I shoot manual focus... pretty much never in the digital world. And that's the way I like it. So I'm not a complete Luddite, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
Although I am a little bit. A little bit of a Luddite. I'll explain that later if anybody cares. Chimping.
Yeah.
Miss it?
Well, I don't think so, because, I haven't developed anything to know if I was on the mark or not, so there's an air of mystery involved in the whole film. But I'm going to assume that the light meter is pretty accurate, and so the way we're metering and spending, or I was spending forever trying to ensure that the exposure was going to be right, I'm going to assume that I didn't need to bother chimping.
Right.
So that was replacing chimping. I was spending 10 times as much time figuring out whether this one shot was going to be exposed properly, that there's no need to chimp.
My favorite part, honestly, was... the look on your kids' faces when they asked to see the picture. Because you took their picture and they asked to see it, and it was...
I showed them the back of the camera.
Yeah, but they just looked at you like quizzically. What are you talking about, Daddy? This is insane.
Yeah.
Quit yanking us here, okay? Show us the picture. And that didn't happen. And then that's pretty common with a lot of people.
Well, that's all their exposure is to, you know, even the little cameras that they play around with all have LCDs on the back.
That's standard move now.
Yeah.
And that kind of plays into my whole thing. Like, for New Year's, our New Year's resolutions this year, remember on the show we did, I said I'm not going to show anybody my camera, the LCD screen. Because people ask all the time, and this is one thing I don't like. I don't like it very much. Like, during while you're shooting and the moment's happening, and people, as soon as the moment happens, well, let's see the moment that just happened.
Yeah.
And my thing is, well, actually, why don't you create a new moment now? And I'll shoot that. And then later on, when we're not doing anything, you can sit and look at it.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, and this is just cranky old man, I fully admit it, but the photographic process has become a part of the moment. And I'd like to stay out of that.
I think that's well put. I also pulled out my ColecoVision the other day, and Jack hit me in the head with the iPad. He said, "What the hell is this?" Do you remember ColecoVision? Did you have one of those? Yeah. It's awesome.
What's a book, Daddy? Well, yeah. What's it like? I mean, you haven't seen the pictures yet.
No.
What's the anticipation like?
I'm interested. Again, it's black and white film, so I'm not exactly familiar at all with true black and white film. So I'm interested. I don't know if what I shot is going to be conducive to black and white. I was just picking random things around our front yard. Again, your wife was giving me pressure. Her eyes were staring a hole through my soul. I knew that it was time for you guys to go, so I picked things around the house that I probably
wouldn't
have
photographed. That's how Germans smile, actually.
Okay.
That's just her smile.
I don't know what if I photographed is going to lend itself, but I tried to take a few flower pictures and stuff. I think it'll be interesting anyways.
You took a wide variety.
Yeah, I tried to take... I took some pictures of the kids playing in the front, and again, not sure how that'll all work out. So, no, I think I'm interested. What did you take with the rest of that role?
Pictures of my feet.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, in various situations. No, a bunch of stuff around the yard. I actually shot mine much faster than you.
Okay.
But I'm used to it now.
Right.
We did some bracketing.
Right.
We did. I asked you, and I said you could pretty much shoot whatever you wanted, and I would help you as much as you wanted or as little. And there were times where I knew you hadn't cocked the shutter, and I just was quiet because it was pretty fun for me. Because by my count, 4 of the first 7 times you hadn't cocked it.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Yeah. Over half, and that was fun.
And some of the moments I would have had would have been amazing.
Oh
no,
yeah,
no, they were.
Yeah, yeah. That time when the Ogopogo popped out and was juggling, that was really wish you'd had that one. But one of the things I asked you to do was actually bracket.
Right.
What was that? Like, any idea why?
No.
It's because you can't chimp. Oh. So if there's something that's wildly important that you get, now this is where you want to bracket because, you know, I think we're metering okay, but just to be sure, I'm going to go up one, down one, up a third, down a third, whatever it is, however you want to bracket it, it's a good opportunity to do that. Now, it's not something I do often because every frame costs money.
And I think I asked you this, and the answer is pretty obvious, but I at the time that I asked it, I hadn't thought it through, and maybe we should just mention again that the bracketing was done on the shutter speed because essentially we wanted to keep the intention of the photo the same aperture, right?
Right.
So, yeah, we did the bracketing just a full stop of shutter speed in either direction.
Right. Did you pay attention to lighting conditions?
When I was walking around?
Yeah, when you're walking around and we're going to shoot, like, it was a very sunny day.
Yeah, I
was it was late in the evening, so we had long shadows and areas of shade. Was that something?
I tried to get a little bit of everything. I tried to get some in the real direct sun, and I tried to get some in the shadows. Again, just for my own learning from the light meter, just to get an idea of how much of a difference there was in one spot versus another. And so, yeah, I was trying to get everything, all the different light.
But when you were, let's say you're metering and going to set the camera, were you kind of expecting there to be a lot less light in the shadow?
Yes.
Now, when you shoot digital, do you pay attention to that or just kind of, okay, because not a lot of people do. Now, they know that it's going to be less light or think it's going to be slightly darker. It is shade after all. But in terms of actual numbers,
it's a game to me. I play the game where you try to guess it before you actually take the reading. I think probably a lot of people do this.
For film or for digital?
For digital. I try to pre-guess. All the time, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's kind of some of the fun of it is to sort of, you know, pretend that I'm super smart. And, and so I'm always guessing at what the numbers are going to be before I get it. I'm right, I'd say, a third of the time.
Right.
So I'm not super good at that game, but I think I'm getting better. The more you practice, the better you get.
That's a great game to play, though, because now we talked about it a little bit before, about like when you go shopping and you have an idea of what the bill's going to be when you get there.
Yes.
Okay, and then you can fine-tune. And that's what I think you should do. I try to do with digital is I'm almost, like I have the picture almost ready. Like when I cheated with you and giving you the camera that was preset.
Yeah.
I had it pretty close.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is make a quick little flick and you're ready to go. And it's much easier to take photos that way. I find that's one of the strengths that came from my film background was I know what to expect because you're physically setting something to correspond to that. You know that, okay, that has to be in that zone. Now, do you remember what the difference was from sun to shade?
I think it was four.
Four stops.
At first, you asked me what I thought it was going to be, and I think I guessed 2.
Yeah.
But it was actually 4.
I think I guessed 3.
Or maybe it was something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Even I was a little off. It was actually a little bit darker than I thought, or twice as dark, as it turns out.
Right.
So it was 4 stops different. So you shot 18 exposures in about an hour.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
No. About 3 seconds. That's when I shoot 18 exposures.
What did that feel like?
I'm not sure if I would have done it like that, but again, I was hunting for things to take pictures of.
Right.
Usually that's not the case, but there's kind of that feeling of, oh, you've only got 18, and so you don't want to waste any, so you got to make this be a really, really good shot. So I think, again, I fall into the category of it doesn't matter when it's digital. I can pump off. It's not costing me anything.
Yep.
I'm just going to delete them. And I think a lot of people, you know, probably tend to overshoot,
mm-hmm.
take 30 pictures to make sure you got one, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, with film, that goes out the window because you go the opposite direction and sort of don't want to waste any because you've got such a limited number.
And there's nothing wrong with shooting a lot in digital, as long as you learn from your mistakes. Now, I find that's the big breakdown is that most people don't, is they just fire away like monkeys typing Shakespeare, and eventually they get something that they, okay, I'll take this one, and that's that. But they don't take away what made this one good. And if they can do that and focus on that and say, I like this one because this, 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 and this, I'll try to do that next time. And then instead of taking 80 pictures, I'll take 12 and then get it down to 3. So I usually find that I sometimes, especially with my kid running around, I'll shoot in burst mode just to get it's a quick 3. Boom, boom, boom. And I'll take one of those. Not because it's different settings, just because it's a different expression or something like that.
Right.
Don't do that with film. I don't have a motor drive. Well, I do, but I don't use it. Because all of a sudden, your roll's gone.
Yeah.
So, fixed ISO. That means we put a roll of 400 in, and that was it.
Yeah.
Did you notice?
Yes. I do a lot of ISO adjusting on the fly. So, especially shooting with that F4 70-200 where sometimes you just need the shutter speed. So mm-hmm. I'm always playing with the ISO to get enough shutter speed. So obviously if it gets darker, I got to up the ISO so that I can stay at a shutter speed that's fast enough to not have to worry about the fact the lens isn't stabilized, right? So it's a little different because we're shooting with a lens that isn't that really isn't a problem with the lens we were shooting film with the other day. But I could see that being a very big obstacle to overcome with a long lens in that mm-hmm. same scenario.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. That's one of the things that I think is my favorite. I'll say it's my number one favorite feature of digital photography is the variable ISO. Because gone are the days like when I shot your wedding, for instance, I shot it on film. And I bought some very, very fast film. I know we've talked about this in the past, but in case you haven't heard it, I don't know what episode it was, so
yeah,
here it is again. I bought some ISO 3200 film, which at the time was like brand new. I shot 1600 black and white, 3200 color. But let's say you're in the church, shoot off 18 photos, move outside, and now we're going to shoot outside. Well, you're not going to shoot ISO 3200 out there. With digital, it's a quick switch. With film, it's well, you better have another body, which I did. I shot with more than one camera body. Because black and white in some, color in the other, different ISOs. You have to do all that stuff. Well, now you can shoot everything in color and make it black and white later, and variable ISO in one camera.
Well, and now it seems like the ISO is the quality, and the high ISOs are getting so fantastic that you know you don't need the f/2.8 lenses. You can get away with an f/4 lens for a yep. lot of things because the high ISO is so fantastic. You don't get super grainy until you go up to 6400 ISO. Right?
In terms of ISO, that's right. I mean, those other lenses are better. But you can get away
you
with can, them now.
Where you couldn't. I mean, my yeah. last camera, even compared to the one I have now, is a huge difference when mm-hmm. I go to ISO 1600.
Yep. No, that's absolutely. Now, I love having to make a choice. If it's not something super important, like I have to cap, you know, like a wedding, I couldn't imagine shooting film. I've heard a few people still do just for the, I don't know, the nostalgic factor.
Right.
Can't imagine doing it. It would be so limiting. However, if I'm going to make a choice to go out and shoot a roll of 36 exposures, I love the fact that, okay, it's going to be 400 today. I'm going to go out and look for ISO 400 pictures.
Right.
So I happen to like those limitations. We did some click counting.
Right.
We counted clicks. How was that? Was that easier?
Harder for me just because I'm used to the 3 clicks
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work the same way. So in my head, that screwed things up again. Given another 15 or 20 minutes, I'm sure my brain would have adjusted.
Right.
But essentially it worked the same way.
Did you find it easy, middle, difficult, whatever, to manage all the variables? Like, how was it to manage the exposure, focus, all that kind of stuff?
I think the hardest part for me is the focus, because I don't think my eye is as even close to as good as how good the autofocus on my camera is.
Mm-hmm.
So that factor, plus just, I think there's a the motor programming of my brain is mapped out exactly where everything is on my camera. So having the shutter speed and the aperture on the lens completely threw me for a loop when I was already thinking about all the little steps I had to take to get this right and where I was going to go and stick the light meter. And so there's a whole bunch of it. It felt like the first time you play golf after a year off, mm-hmm. where you're trying to mentally go through and think, okay, am I doing this right, and then sure enough, you're not, and so then you forget to pull the trigger back, and then you don't take a picture at all. So I think that was the thing that seemed the easiest was the thing that gets forgotten because you're thinking about so many other things.
You know, it's funny, but you not pulling the trigger is one of the things that I forget off all the time in digital is to charge my batteries.
Right.
I oftentimes I'll go out, not for a wedding or anything important, not for a pro job, but I'll go out of the house just to shoot some snapshots and be, oh, my battery's dead.
Yeah.
Because for a long time it never mattered.
Right.
So I think it all evens out.
Sure. Yeah. It's just like that.
Can you see this sort of experience making your, if we were to shoot more and more film, which you're not going to, could you see it making a difference in your digital shooting?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think if I had started it earlier, probably would have made more of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because just in terms of the fundamentals and learning that, which I've learned it all through digital, or not all, but I've learned a lot through digital, that now this reinforces it versus had I done this a year ago, I think a lot of it would have taught and it would have solidified a lot of the information.
Right.
So I think absolutely, no, I think you can, there's a lot to be learned from it.
Did you notice that you were shooting a full frame camera?
Yeah, I did. I noticed that because it was a 50 millimeter and that was one of the first things I noticed is like, wow, I can get so much more in on this 50 millimeter than I can with mine. Yeah,
That's the joke. The joke of it is in the film world, it's actually called a Kleinbild, a small photo. It means small picture because it's like, all right, just a tiny one. Because normally you're shooting large negatives. And so this is the small version, but it's still bigger than most APS-C or whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have fun?
I did. I'll be interested to see the results. I'll tell you if I had fun after I see the results.
No, I know you had fun because when I first said to you, okay, we're going to shoot film, you're like, yeah, whatever. And I brought it to your house, and you were like, all right, fine, we'll shoot film. By the end of the first shot, you were into it.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah.
I like learning.
Well, there we go.
All right.
So now what we're going to do, as soon as we cut here, we're going to go and process that film.
Okay.
And I want to see how that's going to go, especially the loading part. That's the funnest part.
So that's the part where I'll be here till 3 a.m.?
I don't think so. I actually made your life easy. So
you prepped it.
I prepped it.
Awesome.
So I'll take you through that. But before we get to that part, next week's challenge, I'm going to go back to the one that we didn't use last week.
Okay.
And call it, we're going to use Sunny 16.
Okay.
Because that tied in with our film exposures. Because you'll notice oftentimes when we were, you know, you're taking a light meter, I would know the exposure prior to the meter. And that's because of Sunny 16. And not just because I know Sunny 16, but because I know Sunny 16 and then can extrapolate information from that. Meaning it's sunny, the exposure will be this, but in the open shade it's going to be four stops less, therefore it will be this exposure.
Okay.
Sounds like it will never come up in digital. I promise you it does.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know if it does or not.
That's why they have a light meter on the camera.
Yeah, it's built in. But it's still a handy thing to know. So Sunny 16, I'm not going to explain any more.
Someone's going to have to Google it.
If you got to Google it, if you don't know, trust me, there's a couple million pages on it.
Okay.
It's fairly simple, but we'll talk about it next time. Actually, it might even be a full episode. Just kidding, it won't. That's it.
All right.
Okay, websites. Where can people find your stuff, your Portland stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
All right.
And your stuff?
AlanEttridge.com. And the two of us at TwoHosers.com, or the Twitter and the what have you. All there.
Still almost going to post a blog post.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, no, it's brewing. I'm really just want to make the first one a really, and I think it's probably going to be just Disneyland pictures, but yeah. I'm really looking for a doozy in my mind of how to, there's so much anticipation now around it. I'm getting calls and emails all the time. When's the post
coming?
It
was in the paper.
Yeah.
Adam to post soon.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I saw a banner when I drove through Oregon. Yeah, so no, I really want to make it a good one. And then the rest, I'll just phone it in. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just blah, 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 spelling mistakes. you'll spell, instead of saying you are, it'll be YOUR. My favorite. You get there and there wrong.
Yeah.
Are you going to tweet ever?
I might try that. I've still never done that.
And you have the keys.
I don't know how Twitter really works yet. So
it's like blogging, but only 140K. So it's really much easier.
Oh, that's way better.
You can put. It has to be interesting, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So just Google whatever Ashton Kutcher's doing and fire that on out there. People love to hear it. Oh, what's Kutcher up to?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, just kidding. Don't do that. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.